Father, we come before you this morning with a deep concern for the work of the Spirit within us, because this is our only hope to function in any way that is pleasing to you. And we pray, Lord, that the Spirit will address us this morning and minister to us beyond any human person. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Going on now in the book of Acts, still principles relating to how God looks upon members of the body, how we know in the first place that we are saved, how we know that we have His Spirit in us. I want to again emphasize the point of the meaning of each member of the body to Christ. Whatever your particular gift, or even if you may think you don't have a gift, but a gift becomes a technical term. What we generally look upon as a gift, taken, say, from the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, it says, God gave some things. So we take the word gift and we put quotes around it. That's the first mistake you make. So that you assume it's a thing that everybody gets, some package, like Christmas morning or a grab bag or something. Here's your package. And you open it up and this is your thing. See? And if you don't get one of those packages, then you feel that you were left out. Now that is a grave error. God gives to the body, as it pleases Him, certain things. He does not mention in that simple list all the things He gives us. That list of 9 items, for example, at the end of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is not the composite picture, so that you've got to have one of those things or you're not filled with the Spirit. If you think that, you're missing the whole point. He doesn't say everyone has to have a gift. There is no passage in all the Bible which supports the idea that everybody has to have some special thing. Now, let's say you have a finger, right? You have quite a few of them, in fact. Some people use them to count with. Some people use them to make things with. Some people use them as carriers of ornamentation. And so you slip a ring on there, or it may be a symbol of interdependency, or... Here are fingers that are adorned with ornaments. You got a place to wear a ring, right? An adornment. In the body, some people are hands, and therefore have some more potential of visibility. But the Bible says that some people are feet. And in polite circles, feet are not readily visible. The beach, quite different. Yeah. Now, normally people do not wear rings on their toes. So the toes are not generally regarded as carriers or vehicles for adornment. The point is that some parts of us are highly visible. Some parts are ready receptacles for adornments. Some parts are not visible. A person might look at a lowly toe. There's not much apparent good to toes. But point is that toes are not generally looked upon as being very important. But you might be quite surprised at the degree of importance of toes for balance. You think your balance is all in your foot, the ball of your foot. But there's a lot of balance involved in a toe. If you lose a toe, you might have a lot of problems with balance. Just one toe. All right, now you see in the body of believers, we are all united in the Spirit. Now, the moment you become a Christian, the moment you take the Spirit of Christ into your life, you immediately become an integral and an irremediable, if you want to say, a part, inextricable, I should rather say, an inextricable part of the body of believers. In the same sense that if you put a drop of extract, lemon extract, in liquid, in a glass of water, for example, if you decide you made a mistake and you really wanted almond extract instead, there's no way you could take a spoon and dip out the lemon extract, right? Because it's become a part of the whole thing. The Spirit of Christ comes into our spirit and permeates our spirit. When the Spirit of Christ comes in, He makes us part of a larger spiritual essence. The Spirit of God is the essence of the universe. Is behind the universe. Now, I don't say ever that God and the universe are one and the same. That would not be true. But God is different than the universe. By the same token, He is the foundation and substance of the universe. He sustains the universe. And we've talked before about the fact that the universe then, at its deepest essential meaning, is spirit, or is non-material. Now, once we become part of, Christ becomes part of our spirit, we become in turn part of that overall prevailing Spirit of God. Now, therefore, every element in this spiritual essence is understood and known by God. For example, He says the very hairs of your head are numbered. Perhaps we should look at that, maybe accounted for more than actually identified in a column of figures, but every hair of our head is accounted for. Now you might say, well, how can God know every hair of our head? In the sense that hair is living substance, is made up of protein, and whatever happens to that protein substance has, if infinitesimal, nevertheless an effect upon the universal energy. Just as the sunspots, for example, affect the earth millions and millions of miles away, you see. So all I'm saying is, when we become part of Christ, in a grand sense, we are all part of Him. By the same token with yourself, when something happens to you, you see, we've got billions and billions of nerve cells, or various cells in our body, billions of cells. But a light touch on just a very small number of those cells has its effect on all the bodies. What I want to get across to you is, we do not join a club and get an assignment and then go out and do it and come back and get your brownie points for it. Now, that is the typical feeling within the church. You join the club, sign the card, mark an X on your talents, you get your assignment. Teach a Sunday school class, go out and witness, do something like that. And there's your assignment. The more spiritual of them say, now, we're not going to give you an assignment, but God is. And so you can understand that, I don't know how soon it'll be, today or tomorrow, or maybe when you get a little bit more consecrated, you will get your gift. You will open it. Oh, that's my gift, see. I hear people talking like that. Well, my gift is this, my gift is that. Like they got their Christmas presents. But the implication is that whenever somebody talks like that, the implication is you ought to have one too. What is yours? What is your gift? Haven't you got your package yet? Maybe you're just not consecrated enough, or you haven't gone to the mailbox. Sometimes gifts can be identified. Whatever your gift is, you may have a gift that is public. I've talked about that before. And it may be obvious to you or to others. It's usually less obvious to others than it is to yourself. A lot of times people get up on the platform to speak and it is not altogether obvious to the congregation that they have that gift. But they feel that they have it. So they exercise. Some of them are obvious, invisible. But a lot of things that God does within the body of believers cannot really be classified so much as a gift package as it is that the Spirit of Christ has, even by His ministry through you to the body, given a gift to the body. See? And even in Corinthians he talks about that. God has given some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists and teachers, so forth. It isn't that He has given you something special. You may be a channel through which the Spirit of God will minister to somebody else. And you may not even know it. But that's a gift too. You say good morning to someone, and you say, I've been praying for you this week. Like that. It's a gift. Maybe an encouragement to them, but you don't even recognize that. You're just passing the day. I don't mean you're telling falsehood, but you're not aware of the fact that God has done something very special through you, but it has been a gift to that person. If you wake up in the night sometime and you pray for someone, that is just as much a gift as I have to stand here and offer something to you. But you don't know it. And maybe your very presence is a gift. You're part of the body of Christ because of the Holy Spirit in you. And your spirit joins with the Spirit of God and with the spirit of all the believers together. And we're a wonderful thing for God that He has going here, but we really would be very foolish to try and take it all apart and examine who does what. That gives rise to jealousy, to envy, to pride. All of these false emotions come because we try to label believers and their gifts. When we label people, we give them something to hide behind. One of the most tragic labels is the black sheep label. And if you think somebody in a body isn't functioning the way you think they ought to function, they're, well, that's old Clarence. Anybody here named Clarence? Well, you know, old Clarence, he never was very spiritual, so we don't, you know, he babbles things. We don't listen to him because he never did have much sense. We label people like it. Well, what happens to Clarence? He just assumes that he doesn't make much sense, so he babbles anything he wants to and doesn't expect anybody to listen. And so what does a person do? They function in terms of the label. The most tragic labels are put on people by the psychiatrists and psychologists. All the label does is give somebody something to hide behind or something to excuse their actions with. If a psychologist tells a person they're manic depressive, what do? They go out and act like a nut. Most of the time, they know what they're doing, and they choose not to give up the label. I know there come times when there's real sickness, and I'm not discounting that, but a lot of we call them hypochondriacs. Sometimes it's all right. Sometimes it's a diagnosable kind of ill. But 90% of the time, as any doctor would concur, people that come into the office shouldn't be there. Now, the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. That's what I'm trying to get at here today. We are forever labeling experiences and people and aspects of the fellowship. Whereas, in terms, let's say, of spiritual malaise, as some people may refer to it, you know, and they will say, well, that person over there just need another touch of the Spirit, or this person is lazy, or this person is this, and we just quit that. Or conversely, somebody says, oh, well, my gift is this, or my gift is that. And that's pretty shaky. If it's a public kind of thing, it might be true. If you have a gift of public ministry and people are blessed by it. Now, if they're not blessed by it, don't worry about it. You haven't got the gift. Some gifts are obvious, and sometimes we know the gift. It doesn't make us proud because it is a gift. It's nothing we have to do. It's not something given to us. It's something the Lord gives to others through us. I should correct that last paragraph in this sense. We do not have hasn't given to us a gift, but rather that he is giving something to the body through us. We had an experience this week where I met a man back in 1940. Haven't seen him since. He was ministered to through the literature. When his father died this week, and it was in a city 1,500 miles away, 1,200 miles, and he wanted me to come and do the funeral. So he was willing to pay the fare and so forth, but on the strength of what? The ministry of the literature. Now, we'd have to say the Lord touched that man's life. I don't say I have a gift of writing. I'd say the Lord touched that man through us. You are very important to Christ. That man up there that we went to perform the funeral for, very important to Christ and to the body. But he didn't have much of a record of things. He was not a great evangelist. He was not even listed in the roles of the good personal workers in the church. They didn't even have him down on that list, or even on the list of greeters to door. Nor was he on the list of door-to-door callers, house-to-house calling. Nor was he on the list of doing the janitorial work. He wasn't on any list. He was just a man. But he had the Spirit of Christ in him. And that made him important. And it made him as important as some more public personality. And I thought to myself, you know, as I said to some of you earlier, I had to chop a hole in my schedule to get there, to do that. Involved a lot of juggling and readjusting and everything else. And many pastors might not have felt they could take the time to do that. I tell you something about those pastors. I don't care what they had on the agenda. If they got called from some evangelistic association and said, look, would you come and have the funeral for this big name personality? I don't care what they were doing. They'd drop and go. I don't want to mention any names. I don't want to sound macabre. But that's the point. This fellow was just as important to the body of Christ as some big name evangelist. But if it would be to go to someone who didn't have any name, well, I'd love to do it for you, brother, but you know, I got a couple of meetings today and I just, you know, can't do it. But it loses sight of the point that everyone, every spirit in the body of Christ is equally important. Just like the toe is equally important with the hand, the head, even the head. You can't get along without your head as well as you can get along without your toe. But as far as being a vital part of the human body, it is a vital part, the toe. Okay, so I wanted to comfort all of you with that word.
I don't care how spiritual may think you are or not. I wouldn't even examine my spirituality if I were you. Don't diagnose yourself. Don't feel your spiritual pulse. To this day, I don't know whether I'm spiritual or not. I just do my work. I don't analyze it. I mean, I'm half dead. I don't know. But some people think I am. Now listen to the message. Well, I think this fellow's half dead. And you're welcome to that evaluation. But I don't evaluate myself that way. I just do my work. You ought not to evaluate yourselves that way. Don't ask. God, you have a gift for me today. Don't ask. Just live. And go out and do your work. Computers, whatever you're in. Gardening, the whole thing. Do it. And maybe in your office, something of the Spirit of Christ permeates the area. Something will happen. We had lunch on the same trip up here with an attorney of a very large city who may not have been a believer at all. And we talked together for about 4 hours over lunch. I didn't get a decision from him. I didn't ask for one. I didn't pass out a card to sign. And I can't claim anything except I had lunch with him. He had a sandwich and I had a chef's salad and we talked. And he'll go back to his town, which is a big one in the north. All I know, nothing will come with it. On the other hand, it might be a key thing that starts some chain reaction that opens up that section of the country. Because one result is we'll be sending one of the books. Not as a gimmick, but just because he was interested in having one. And he, being a lawyer, will appreciate it. But maybe that'll open up a whole door. But for me to go away saying, now what did you do for me, Lord? What can I write down on my report in the messenger? How can I put a box score down? I don't know from nothing. If the Lord does too much through us, we get proud. If he doesn't do enough from us, we get discouraged. There's no way you can avoid one or the other if you start examining that. Indulging me one more Sunday on that long introduction and still longer detour, I feel that has to be said. By the way, this is the Memorial Weekend, right? A lot of people out knocking around the country. We had this call to go up there, but I got it through about 10 o'clock Wednesday night, and we had to be there at the funeral at 2 o'clock Friday on a Memorial Day weekend to get a plane out of town. However, we had our faithful compatriot over there waiting in the wings in case we couldn't get a flight, we'd have driven up. And we came about 60 miles of the volcano up there. But anyway, the point we're making is the Lord had a ministry to a soul or two in a far-off city, and one was only the channel to help. You, everyone in this room, is in exactly the same position and no less important than the speaker. Please lay that into your hearts today and understand that. You have the Spirit as much as anybody. And you may be on a bummer. You may be you may not even be aware that you're in a position where you think he can use you. I suspect the more you think you're already formed to do something through you, the less likely he is to do it. If you walk out of the room in the morning and say, oh, Jesus, I'm already now to do something for you, please do something. He may decide that maybe you are not ready yet. So you don't even think about that. You just go and let him minister through you. Or maybe it's just the fact that you're all here together in a body ministering to one another. Again, it's like the hairs on your head. You may have a lot, you may not have much. But whatever's up there is part of you and has its own. It's as much a part of you, even that one that gets snipped off or drops off,
would be as important as any other one, you see.
So people in the body, they come and they go. They drop off, like our hairs.
But that doesn't mean that we're unimportant. Their usefulness was served.
Well, I'll leave you alone. I don't want to badger you with this, but I just want so much that you understand the quality of spirit that ties us together and makes us part of Christ and makes us a functioning member, even if we don't understand our function or can label it.
It should encourage your heart and help you to have peace today. And I want you to walk out that door and be at peace. Say, Lord, here I am. I don't know nothing, but here I am. It makes bad grammar, but it makes good sense. But I'm here, and I need your help. And you're just a very important part of that whole picture.
It comes up, of course, off of the issue of Stephen, who went out to be a waiter on tables in the Spirit of Christ. Father, we ask that you will bless this fellowship in the ministry that is here, that from it may come what you want. In Christ's name, amen.